Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. Last evening in the sacristy, before Mass, amidst the typical chit-chat about weather and COVID, the subject of homilies came up. Deacon Jim Elliott was getting ready to preach last night's Mass, and there was a conversation about how we learn how to preach, how long the homily should be, the classes that we take. And it was a fitting conversation, not only because we were right before Mass, but in light of the readings we find at today's Mass. This first reading in particular from Isaiah 61. This was the very scripture that was used on the day that Jesus gave his first homily. We read about that in Luke chapter 4. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. He went out into the desert and was tempted by the devil. And then he comes into Nazareth, his hometown, to the synagogue that he was so familiar with. And it's there that Luke tells us. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And then here's the homily, and it's just 9 words. "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." That was Jesus' first homily. And in response to that, Luke tells us that they all spoke highly. They were amazed at him. And then they start talking. They start speculating. And by the end of the scene, they were ready to kill him. They drove him out of his hometown, ready to throw him off the cliff. I can assure you, it was not because he gave a long homily. Last week, I shared that stark reminder of a story that we had already killed Jesus, the one who started the Christmas thing. This week, as we find ourselves midway in Advent, 12 days before Christmas, we hear this reading from Isaiah 61. And we're reminded that Jesus is the fulfillment of this beautiful word. The question is, how do we receive it? How do we receive him? And I'd suggest that it needs more than just amazement, because amazement can lead to chit-chat and noise, as it did in Nazareth that day. But amazement at this reading can also lead us to joy. And that's what we want. How might that happen? 2 little ways. Consider how Jesus comes to us. He comes as a baby because he wants to grow in us. He wants to be loved. Consider that the vast majority of his life, he spoke no words, or we have none of them written down. A little scene from when he was 12 years old, and then all the way fast forward to when he was 30. The silence of Jesus, the littleness of Jesus, evokes from us wonder and awe and joy. Who are we that he would come to us in this way? Who is he that he would come at all? John the Baptist answers such questions, and it's interesting. When he's asked who he is, he says, I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. God is. He is the fulfillment. He is the promised one. He is peace. And we, baptized in him, can find peace, and we can receive him well as a child. Humility. Another way to live this is not just receiving him as a child, but spelling joy in the proper way. You may have heard this before. I think it was Mother Teresa who said and taught how we spell joy. J, Jesus. O, others. Y, you. Jesus, others, and you. In that order spells joy. 12 days away from Christmas. Let us praise God that he is near, Jesus. And let us be rightly aligned. Let us get the order straight. Let us be humble of heart so as to receive the Savior and to receive him well with joy. May God bless you this week.